Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mulletcast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Our co-host, Mortgage Guy Mike, is still living the good life and on vacation. Today, we are joined by David Z. Wilson. David is a realtor at the Weikert Asbury Park office. Follow David online at David Z. Wilson Realtor, both on Facebook and Instagram. What's going on, David?
Morning, Evan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Sweet. Chris just gave us like the, I felt like I was on the set of Wayne's World. He was doing like the 5-4. It took like everything I had not to start dying laughing right in the middle of that intro. That was pretty sweet.
That might have added something to it.
So you told me, now I was going to ask you, but like we just got done talking about how like don't use your questions before the podcast start. And you casually mentioned like, oh yeah, it's like that time I was on The Bachelor. So I wasn't sure if that was a joke or
no,
like,
that was definitely a joke.
All right. I thought so. But no. I'm like, damn, that's a gem. We can't talk about that right now.
No, we're not going to talk about that.
So that's like actually like one of my, it's sort of becoming a well-known secret confession about me is like I am a closet like Bachelor fan. So I'm currently spending my summer watching Bachelor in Paradise right now.
It sounds like a great way to spend your evening.
All right, now that we got the embarrassing stuff out of the way. So I am also intrigued. We talked about it briefly, but I always think it's cool people to have either a Z or an X as a middle initial. It's like very like mysterious almost. So what does your Z stand for?
My middle name is Zachary.
Mm. That's cool.
But it definitely sets you aside because, right, as you can imagine, there are a few David Wilsons out there.
Right. So that's so you kept it kind of to
I keep it to cut down on the internet traffic and the to keep the Google search a little clean.
Right. So that definitely works. That's a good idea. So you're a Jersey Shore dude. You grew up in the area, went to St. Rose for high school. What was it like growing up in Jersey?
I don't think I appreciated it fully, just being close to the beach. And it really hits me now more than ever in my life because I talk to so many people that are from North Jersey, New York, and they all want to be here at the beach. They all want to look at the beach. They want to live near the beach. And it never really struck me before the last few years that I've been selling real estate what I had in my pocket the whole time, right, where I could – when I was a kid, I used to hop on my bike and go to the beach. It was right there. It was a constant.
Right.
But other people really prize it, and it's making me appreciate it more living here.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's funny is, like, as you say that, like, St. Rose is basically right on the beach in one
Seven
of the most
blocks.
Popular beach towns, you know?
They used to make us run wind sprints on the beach at wrestling practice.
Oh, did they really?
Which was torture. At that point, I hated the beach.
Did you? That's right. It's funny how that changes. So you were a wrestler throughout high school?
I was.
It's too bad Mortgage Guy Mike's not here. He was also a wrestler.
Well, you don't want us wrestling in here.
Yeah. That would have been sweet. That's right. Exactly. We could clear some space. I kind of find the same thing, too. Like, you take the beach for granted because it's just where you live and you cruise around. And, like, I find it odd now spending a lot of time on, like, you know, Asbury Boardwalk or Ocean Grove Boardwalk, just cruising around all of those various towns that, you know, a high percentage of people on the boardwalk at any given time are from pretty far away, you know. It's, like, definitely a destination spot.
Exactly. It's pretty interesting seeing where people are willing to drive in from. And you're talking 2, 3, 4 hours sometimes. People will come to see a show in Asbury or mm-hmm. just go sit on the beach and wander around the boardwalk.
Right. That's the funny thing. Like, you don't realize like how lucky you are. There's a playground on the boardwalk that's like across from the Stone Pony, basically. So for whatever reason, I don't even always plan it out, but you'll take the kids, you know, cruise around the boardwalk and they want to hit that playground. So like the other night I'm there, they're playing like Papa Roach is in the background. It's like, a couple of weeks before it was like the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. You're like, where else in the world could this happen? Like your kids are running around, like having a great time on a beach playground, and you're hanging out catching a free like Bosstones show. You know,
exactly.
Like it's insane.
We're definitely blessed here, and I don't think that most of us really appreciate the rarity of what we have.
Right.
Where, I mean, I've been to Iowa, and I got very disoriented not knowing which way was east, north. You have to actually look at the sun instead of just saying, okay, the beach is over there, and that's east.
Right.
I also get turned around when I go to the West Coast, because the beach is on the wrong side.
Right. So someone just posted something that blew my mind. Like, I've never even thought about this, and I'm still not sure I fully grasp it. I mean, I do, but I don't. Like, they were like, you know, I decided to move to the West Coast so I can enjoy the beautiful sunrise on the Pacific.
Oh, man.
And you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that's weird. So that was a good one. All right, so after growing up in Jersey, you got out of the area and you went up to Boston for college.
I did. I was in Boston for about 8 years.
Mm.
There was some college, and while I was in college, just as a part-time job, I ended up working in a wine shop and then managing it, and that led to a kind of mini career for about 8 or 10 years of just dealing with the wine industry, both retail, wholesale, working for an importer. A huge education as far as, well, sales, but the knowledge base required behind that. You're not selling couches. You're selling a product that could be made anywhere in the world, and there's a lot of specific laws,
right,
nation to nation. It is a very, very interesting topic, and also a fun study.
Right. So did you end up in a wine shop just because you were looking for a job, or did you have an interest in wine initially?
I was in college. I needed a part-time job.
Right.
I had worked in liquor stores previously, but the liquor store I ended up applying at was a pretty serious wine shop.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of accidentally, I really got into the study of wine.
That's pretty cool. And then did that continue? Like, are you still interested in wine?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's something that has become more rare just because it's more of a glass with dinner now, and it's not something that is required for my day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And my access to crazy wine has diminished by quite a bit, not being in the industry.
Right. So what's some of the crazy wine you were exposed to?
You name it, I've had it. From first growth Bordeaux to very, very upper end champagne. A lot of people don't know, but Cristal makes a rosé.
Mm-hmm.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
Just off the charts. But not even the crazy upper end stuff. It was more just the really esoteric, because you can take a Cabernet and it can be the $6 bottle that you buy in the grocery store, or the $150 bottle, and it's just levels. It's putting the gas pedal down.
Mm-hmm.
But you start getting into this weird stuff where they only grow it in one little region in Spain that nobody ever goes to.
Right.
And that's the type of thing where this is completely new and different for me, and that's the kind of mind-blowing stuff that really gets me going with wine.
That's cool. Any like particular like regions you were exposed to or surprised by that had like quality wine people might not normally think of?
There are a lot of little spots in Spain and Portugal that are that are producing some great stuff. The South America has been really experimenting just because their laws are a little more lax than the old world, where France, Italy, Germany, they have serious laws regarding what you can plant in whatever region, where South America and Australia are kind of wide open. As long as you tell people what's in it, just have at it. And they end up getting a lot more creative rather than just taking what the government has prescribed them to grow and doing what they can with it.
Right. Yeah, I guess for better or for worse, like Italy has very specific regions also for the foods and everything they produce, basically.
Which is fantastic, because it ends up being the wine, the cheese, and the whole cuisine and culture of a region really come through as sort of a conglomerate that really works together. Because if you look back, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, they've been developing this culture for thousands of years.
Right.
So their wine fits their food, fits their cheese, fits their climate.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting looking at it like that as the big picture and not just what's in the bottle.
Right. Yeah, no, that's true. I think once you experience that, like I still have a memory of like it was probably in the, I don't even know, 90s, early 2000s or something of this one meal in France where everything was just paired perfectly from like every single course. And it does blow your mind once you experience that, you know, as opposed to just like grab a bottle of wine and here's what we're having for dinner.
Exactly. It's a lot more... Well, I don't even want to say it's thought out. It was more of an evolution, a thousands of years evolution of what grapes work here, what kind of cheese can we make. Those cows don't do well here, but sheep are prolific here.
Right.
So we're going to make a sheep's milk cheese, and the two kind of come together, and then a lamb dish. And the herbs and spices that you put on it tend to match the climate and... Everything just kind of comes together in this beautiful synergy.
It is pretty crazy. So was Gary Vee doing his wine videos back in this time that you were doing this? Do you remember those?
Not that I remember, no. Yeah. But back then, it was books. There were a lot of books.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking late 90s, so internet streaming was just virtually impossible. This is pre-YouTube days.
Right.
And dial-up connections.
Gotcha.
So it was. There were a lot of books.
Right. So was there an AOL keyword wine that you would hop on?
No. It was definitely books. And I mean, the distributor importer community, especially in a larger city like Boston, which at the time that I was there was the number two wine market in the U.S.
Was it really?
Yeah. After San Francisco, even New York was trailing a little bit.
Gotcha.
So it was. You could go to industry tastings and taste 150 wines in the span of 3 hours.
Wow.
We definitely spit, otherwise
there
was no leaving there. But but still, just being able to taste and talk about it with people that are also speaking the same language just it increases your knowledge exponentially in a short period of time.
It is a pretty wild world. Which obviously you have to be very educated in because it is a lot of it, you know, very specific information.
But it comes quick.
Yeah, does it?
If you're into it on that level, it comes very quick.
Yeah. I guess that's something that starts feeling not like work, right? It's like an interest.
It ended up being the opposite to the point where at the end of the day, you don't want to go home and have a glass of wine. You just want to crack open a beer and not think about wine.
Right.
You get burnt out, because you're so focused on the minutia of what's in that bottle that it stops being.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A pleasure. And,
and
starts being work.
Gotcha.
So I had to step back at some point.
Did you? You ever see that documentary, Sour Grapes, that's on Netflix?
I did.
That's pretty intense, right?
Documentary was a little cheesy.
Yeah.
But... on the other hand, I completely agree with what they're saying because I've always told people, and people that know that I'm into wine, they assume that I'm some sort of wine snob, and if they crack open anything that costs less than $50, I'm going to turn up my nose at it.
Right.
And I always tell them, I get more excited finding an $8 bottle, dusty, hidden in the back of the liquor store, that's really good than I do at just going out and spending $100 and buying a bottle that you know is going to be good.
Right.
There's no surprise there.
That's true.
I'd rather gamble on that $8 bottle.
Right. So do you think that's part of it? People get caught up in the hype of equate price with quality and that kind of stuff?
That's
or reputation.
Human nature.
Yeah.
Is a Louis Vuitton bag better than the bag you bought at Target? It might be a little bit better, but is it 20 times better? No.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's pretty funny. So what's which a recommended, like, under $10 bottle of wine you would tell people to go find?
When it's me, I gravitate towards Spain. Spain is still probably the best source of just good, cheap wine to crack open on a Wednesday night that you're not breaking the bank, but it's not – I don't want to call anybody out, but it's not that you know, just really cheap Australian trash that tastes like Kool-Aid.
Right. Gotcha. All right, cool. All right, so how do you leave Boston? Were you pursuing wine and left the area, or did you just go for a career change?
I got to the point where my whole family was here. My grandparents were getting older, and, you know, I could live up there and do my thing, but I was only getting home two or three times a year. I wanted to be able to spend some more time with family as they were getting older, and I didn't want to really miss any chances.
Right.
So I came back here and kind of reinvented myself.
That's cool. So you started... You ended up in Asbury when you came back, right?
Yep. I was in, I lived in Belmar, worked in Long Branch briefly, and then about 8 months after I was back here, I ended up in Asbury and kind of never left.
Gotcha. And what was your first gig in Asbury?
I was working at Market in the Middle, mm-hmm. which was a bar and restaurant that is currently it's occupied by Toast.
Okay.
Right next door to Brickwall.
Right.
But we actually predated Brickwall, and it's now defunct, of course. But
right.
It was definitely a fun learning experience. It's what got me into the kitchen, which, again, with my wine background, getting a full handle on food like that was really exciting, especially because we didn't have a specific cuisine.
Right.
We were Asian. We were Mediterranean. The menu was so fluid that week to week we could just pick something and do it.
Gotcha.
And it was a lot of fun and a huge learning experience.
So what was your cooking experience before that?
I could cook at home.
Right.
I grew up, my grandmother was first generation, 100% Italian, and I spent a lot of time with her as a child. So Italian food I was very comfortable with growing up. But as far as how do you make a hollandaise sauce or... You know, Vietnamese food, completely alien to me. But once you get to the point where you can hold a knife and you can go to a restaurant, eat Vietnamese food, and kind of know what's there, you can recreate it. It's not as mystical as people accredit it with being.
So did you start? So it was basically like learning by fire?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's culinary school, and you can do it. It's 3 years, and they teach you a little bit more of the business side and the classical side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no replacement for someone handing you a knife and a cutting board and a bag of onions and saying, here, dice this 50-pound bag of onions.
Right.
Do I need to spend college type of money to have someone teach me to dice onions and... You know, learn how to work a saute pan and a grill.
Right.
No, I got paid for doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I learned a lot. I got to work with a lot of crazy, fun people.
Right.
It was definitely a huge learning experience, but also personally enriching.
Right. So were you working with any people that are still around doing restaurants in Asbury now?
Oh, of course. The executive chef at Market for about 90% of the time I was there was Mark McPherson, who now owns Twisted Tree Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, I worked with a couple of the guys who actually run the kitchen now at Triumph Brewery in Red Bank.
Okay.
Who else is still around? I worked with Andrew Vermilia from the Speak Eatery. He owns the Speak Eatery.
Nice.
Asbury's a small community, and everyone tends to just kind of float around until they find their long-term home.
Right.
So we make a lot of good friends, and we remain friends.
That's cool. So this was like around, what, 05, 06?
06 was when I moved, was when Market in the Middle opened, which is when I really got into Asbury.
Right.
And I was there full time, meaning I might have left town once a week till about 2014.
Wow. And what was Asbury like in 06?
It was almost what I would call at its peak. It was still a little bit gritty.
Mm.
It was still a little bit, you didn't want to leave downtown alone at night. We did.
Right.
You just got to keep your wits around you, which is not something that most of Monmouth and Ocean County is used to. Just keeping an eye out, who's standing around. You definitely had to keep looking over your shoulder.
Right.
But it was still, there was this feeling that something was happening. Businesses were opening left and right on the boardwalk, Cookman Avenue.
Right.
The businesses that were there were really starting to thrive. And the community that was living in town was very invested in making the town what we wanted it to be.
Right.
Because there were it was a pretty small population of not Asbury natives, but people that were drawn there based on the vision of Asbury, mm-hmm. and not just thrown into it through life circumstances.
Right.
So we were all pretty invested in moving it forward and shaping it the way we wanted it.
Right. So what do you think drew you there when you came back?
Well, in high school, I had a lot of friends who were in bands. Uh-huh. And in the mid-90s, if you had a high school band and you wanted to play somewhere that wasn't at someone's backyard barbecue,
right,
you had to go to the Stone Pony on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely.
And you'd go in the side door and all your friends would come in and pay $8 and the band would walk out with 40. But right. You got to play live at the world famous Stone Pony.
Yeah.
And so I started hanging out in Asbury in 1994. I was in the middle of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was pretty desolate. I mean, in between bands at the Pony, we'd go outside and play wiffle ball right along Second Avenue there, on the side of the Pony.
Right.
We'd be hitting the ball onto Ocean Avenue, and there were no cars. It was nothing.
Right.
And by the time I got back full-time in 06, just seeing what was going on, I knew I had to jump in. It was a project. I mean, it was my job. It was my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also, I think a lot of us had this vision that we were creating something. It was a project for all of us,
right,
and not just a place to live.
That's really cool. And what do you think some of the keys to, like, the growth were? Like, everyone always talks about music, obviously, like, you know, because the Pony was always there, mm-hmm. and various clubs, but what else was going on?
The thing is, the music was always there.
Right.
The Saint was there.
Yeah.
The Pony was there. The Lanes had been there for a few years at that point, mm-hmm. and they were all doing their thing. They were up and running. But at that point, pre-04, 05, the music fans would come in, or they would eat somewhere else, Bradley, Belmar, come in, see the show, and get out as fast as possible because it was dark out.
Right.
By 05, 06, we were seeing restaurants, mm-hmm. there was shopping, so you get people there during the day, and it was becoming a place to hang out and not just come in, stay for 3 hours to see the show, and run away.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know, I'll come out and say it was the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. 100% turned that town around.
Right.
Because there had always been a couple of gay-oriented bars in town.
Right.
Just because nowhere else in Monmouth County really wanted that. And mm-hmm. Asbury didn't care.
Right.
So they were there, and they were in the city. They were up North Jersey. And they were seeing, we can get this old Victorian for $70,000.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to require a bunch of work, but at that point, we own this 5-bedroom Victorian house 3 blocks from the beach.
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 gay bars up the street. What more could we want?
Right.
And the more that happened, and the more those folks came in, they clean up the house, and what's the next thing you do? You invite all your friends from the city down.
Right.
And it exploded. But then, at that point, they want places to go shopping. They want restaurants. And it really fired it because the rest of suburban Monmouth County at that point was not ready to just go out and have dinner in Asbury.
Right.
They were willing to go to the Pony for 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
be scared the whole time that their car was getting broken into. Whether it was reality or not, they were right. scared of it. I still have family that says, is it okay to park by Convention Hall?
Right.
But, you know, we all know the reality now that there's more cops by Convention Hall than there are covering the rest of the town.
Right.
So suburban Monmouth and Ocean County was not ready for Asbury at that point, but the LGBT community has always kind of been relegated to places that were a little underdeveloped, mm-hmm. and they've always been responsible for bringing back neighborhoods. When I was in Boston, they were bringing back the South End.
Really?
And you were watching it happen. It was a neighborhood where there was always a few gay-oriented bars, and they were buying up these old brownstones that had been the ghetto in the 80s. And right. by the mid-90s, it was a thriving, vibrant neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I saw going on in Asbury when I came back. So right. I had to jump in.
That's cool. So how did your cooking career progress?
It was kind of accidental.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a hand in the kitchen. I was tending bar, and they said, hey, do you pick up a knife? And right. it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I jumped in with both feet. Did that for about 8 or 10 years. And then I started getting older. It's definitely a young man's game.
Right.
And
So, I mean, like, what level did you achieve? Like, were you, like, the head chef at a place, or what were you doing toward the end?
I was basically, for most of the time that I was at Market in the Middle, kind of number two in the kitchen, mm-hmm. when the executive chef needed a day off, it was my job to beat up whatever culinary grad was there and had never worked a live line. It was my job to count the produce at the end of the night and call on the order. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years later when...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
When we opened Bond Street Bar, which is still holds a place near and dear to my heart,
right?
They brought me in. I had been cooking at the Lanes for a couple of years, and it was the same type of concept where there's a flat top and two fryers, and just go in there and have at it.
Right.
And they kind of handed the reins to me as soon as we opened, and I was allowed to create my own little vision of bar food in there.
That's cool. So what were you doing? I don't even remember the food scene at the Lanes. Like, I remember shows. What was it like? What you'd imagine?
It was exactly what you'd imagine. Just cheeseburgers. There was a lot of tater tots happening there.
Nice. Some sticks.
Definitely mozzarella sticks. But just because of the nature of the clientele, there was some fun vegetarian and vegan food there.
Was it really?
Just beyond the veggie burger, there was always, fried barbecue tofu. Wow. There was always a lot of little bit different than what you would normally find at either a bowling alley or a music venue.
Right, that's cool. So what are some of your memories from the Lanes?
Oh, so many. Right. I mean, between the burlesque shows to bands that, I mean, there are some bands that I saw at the Lanes, and the next time I saw them was at the Art Center.
Right.
The bands that... before they exploded, or bands that are on the way up or on the way down. I mean, I had a 300 capacity, so it was it's tricky to book because mm-hmm. if you look at something like even the Pony Inside is 800, but you have to kind of find these bands that, what if they draw a crowd of 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
Right.
So you can't bring in these huge bands.
Right.
So that was a challenge in there, but we made it. We made it happen. We did a Bouncing Soul show there.
That's cool.
We didn't announce it.
Mm.
We announced it, I think, an hour or two before they were going on stage.
Right.
We had a line. When I say around the block, I mean literally all the way around the block.
Right.
On an hour to 2 hours' notice.
That's sweet.
I feel bad for all the kids that didn't get in.
Right.
And it was stuff like that was just crazy. I watched, they filmed an episode of, the Comic Book Men?
Oh, they did.
In there. So I walked in one afternoon. I just planned to clean the fryers and just get my kitchen ship shape because at the time I was working two jobs and I didn't always have time to do it at 1 in the morning.
Right.
So I showed up a little early and Jason Mewes starts screaming at me. He's always a character. I love him. But there's a lot of great memories from that place.
That's awesome. Is there, like, one show that sticks out in your mind that was, like, the craziest to see? I mean, did you get to see a lot of music while you were...
The snack bar was directly facing the stage.
Okay.
So, and generally during the bands, not a lot of people would be coming at me looking for food. So I would just stand in the back and watch the bands.
Right.
Craziest band I ever saw there, probably this Japanese band called P-Lander Z.
Uh-huh. Chris Skiven is not approved.
Yeah, Chris loves it. They're just a crazy stage show between the lights. It's just insane.
Right.
The crowd brings props. But as far as the best musical experience there, I'd have to say Austin Lucas.
Uh-huh.
He's from Indiana.
Okay.
And he gets up on stage with an acoustic guitar and he's up there singing. This had to be a Tuesday or Wednesday night. There's really nothing going on. I wasn't even working. I just wandered in to see what was going on. He's up on stage and he's really good, but there's only about 30 or 40 people there.
Right.
He hops down off the stage, leaves the mic up there, unplugs his guitar, and just stands in the middle of the crowd of about 30, 40 people and just sings his heart out.
Right.
And to this day, he's one of my favorite artists.
That's really cool. there's a band, like, that's one of my most memorable shows there. And the only reason I remember it, because it was so unexpected, is they're called Collapsing Lungs. And they had an album came out on Atlantic, brand new tour bus, all new gear, just, you know, ready to rock. I go to see him at Lanes as, like, sort of loosely, like, working for someone that worked for him. And there's probably 10 people there that were all there to see, like, local Neptune kids that were rappers were, like, opening, right? And these kids come out, put on a boombox with a mixtape, rap. Their friends are all going crazy. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, my God, this show's going to be a disaster. There's, like, literally no one here. And these dudes came out and acted like they were playing in front of 10,000 people. It was, like, the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So there were, like, 10 kids that left. Like, I just saw the craziest show last night, you know? And it was, like, I mean, for me, just in terms of, like, you know, in the music business and work ethic was, like, such an important lesson of, like, how you have to approach every night, basically, you know?
It's that whole boiler room act as if theory where, okay, those guys just picked up fans, everyone in the room, and that's how you get signed to Atlantic Records.
Right.
You don't just show up and say, oh, there's only 10 people here, and, you know, kind of phone the whole thing in.
Yeah,
you get up on stage, and you're a giant stadium.
Right. That's exactly what it was.
You're killing it, like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it was cool. So it's still, like, one of those most amazing shows I've ever seen, and it's just, like, so unexpected, you know? Because half of your, you know, half the time you're like, oh, these guys are just going to peace out. Like, you know, like, let's get out of here. This sucks, you know. But it was killer. all right. So after this, you sort of segue somehow into real estate in 2017.
Well, getting out of the kitchen, I ended up, you know, when I was cooking, when I was tending bar, I was single. I was living on Cookman Avenue. And it was doable, but I don't know how long it was sustainable as far as a long-term life plan.
Right.
So that had been kind of rattling around the back of my mind. And then one night I was at the Wonder Bar. It was early 2013. I met my now wife. And she was recently divorced, had two kids at home. And it all kind of segued. I keep calling it the package deal. I got a wife, two kids, and a mortgage in suburbia. And I sat in an office for 3 years, and it was doable. I can't say that I enjoyed it, but, you know, you get up every morning and it just happens. It's like Groundhog Day.
Right.
And
it's time to make the donuts.
And when that project was over, I ended up looking for something to do, and I was looking for something where it wasn't going to completely beat up my body.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to be out until 3 a.m. But kind of where I was at my own boss without a huge capital outlay.
Right.
And real estate just kind of worked. I had always been kind of interested in it, just the whole way that it works between the normal traditional real estate. You want to buy a house, you want to sell a house. Okay, we'll do that to investment property. Just the way that the ebb and flow, because it's a in a lot of ways a big reflection on the local culture as a whole.
Right.
So it kind of worked. And when I got into the business, I was in Rumson.
Mm-hmm.
My office was in Rumson. Now, I had only been, at that point, I'd only been in Rumson for about 2-3 years. I didn't really have the sphere there.
Right.
When I got the opportunity to come down and work in Asbury, I jumped on it.
Right.
I had 1 foot in the door before they opened the doors of the office.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's my business has gone through the roof. And I feel like there's a whole lot more opportunity there for me just because of my knowledge of Asbury and my knowledge of the people in Asbury and the mindset of people that are there and or want to be there.
Mm-hmm. So were you at a Weikert office originally?
I was.
Okay.
And it was a fantastic office. It just wasn't. And I was going to say it wasn't a home, but it was. Everybody there was phenomenal. I met some really great people. I still stop there a couple times a week because it's close to my house.
Right.
But Asbury will always have a special place in my heart, and I feel most comfortable there.
Right. So the Weikert Asbury office opened, was it in 18 or 19? Was it this year?
It was just within the last. It was right after Thanksgiving last year.
All right, cool. So how has it been getting a new office going and being a part of that?
I love starting new projects. I mean, with restaurants, I think I opened 5 or 6 restaurants in the span of 8 or 10 years that I was cooking. And it's always an adventure. I mean, this is a little more controlled just because of the semi-corporate nature of Weichert. I mean, there's 550 Weichert offices around the country.
Right.
So they kind of know what they're doing that way. But as far as we're assembling a new team and we're trying to make inroads in a market that was not completely untapped, but kind of underutilized by Weichert agents. It was mm-hmm. kind of if something happened at Asbury, we'd take it.
Right.
But we weren't really gunning for it, and now we are, and we've had some pretty good response.
Yeah, that's cool. And you got a cool location. I mean, you're definitely like an Asbury vibe office. You know, you're right across from Bond Street, and you have that sort of like city office feel, you know, inside.
Exactly. It's not that old school where everybody has their own little wooden desk right. with a landline phone on it, and you know, they sit there waiting for people to wander in. It's definitely, it's set up for the way that real estate agents work now, mm-hmm. where, yeah, there's a couple computers there, but everybody brings their own computer, does their own thing. They show up to use the printer.
Right.
We keep the office open because people actually do just wander in for whatever reason. I had somebody wander in yesterday and say, hey, is anybody here a notary public?
Right.
Luckily, I said, yes,
right.
I am a notary public. And they wandered out.
That's cool.
You know, they wouldn't take their money. I handed them a pile of business cards and sent them on their way.
Right.
And it's good to become part of a community and let people know that you're not just a business looking to collect money from the neighborhood.
Mm.
We've been definitely trying to do a lot of community outreach.
Right.
And just silly stuff like that to, number one, get the word out there, but also just show that we're not here to collect your money and try to capitalize on the fact that the town's turning over.
Right, right, totally.
We want to help the locals.
Yeah, you're a little more invested than just like, you know, let's yeah. flip some properties or something.
Exactly. I'm not just showing up because I heard somewhere that Asbury Park is coming back.
That's right. That's where I'm going to start my career. So, yeah, and you guys just had a big event. You do, I guess Weichert has an annual event raising money for American Cancer Society.
Exactly.
And your office did a cool event with Mama Drama over at Bond Street Bar. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a great time.
And I guess you were responsible for like a lot of the fundraising part of like getting businesses to donate stuff for the auction part.
I did do a lot of that locally just because, as we know, I spent a lot of time on Cookman Avenue, and I know a lot of the business owners, especially the longstanding business owners.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely made the rounds and hit them up for donations.
That's cool.
And I was not shocked, but my heart was warmed quite a bit by the response that I got. We got gifts from so many people, and everybody was very, very generous as far as, you know, opening their pockets and opening their stores and helping.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Us to make the event a huge success.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Which is good. I mean, it's a great cause. We all know somebody who's been touched by cancer at some point.
Absolutely.
We all have friends, family, and Weichert is very invested in it. They have a room up near Sloan Kettering in New York. They've sponsored one of those rooms where if you're in the hospital and your family can come stay so they don't have to commute in and out of the city constantly.
Ah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so the money definitely goes to help people because we all know someone who's been touched by cancer, and we also all know someone who's been basically bankrupted even with health insurance. There's a lot of costs that health insurance doesn't cover.
And right.
Cancer Society can help out with some of that.
That's cool. So what are some towns you focus on? Because you're not just doing business in Asbury.
Oh, no. I mean, you can't. I mean, if I started shutting down and saying, oh, no, I don't go to Allenhurst or I don't go to Belmar, I wouldn't have a lot of business. There are towns that are kind of near and dear to my heart. I have a lot of friends, you know, people that I like in Long Branch.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive through Long Branch twice a day on the way to and from work. So that's a fun one. And I think there are some spots in Long Branch that, you know, away from the beach, I'd I have really no interest in dealing with the beach unless someone calls me and says, hey, I want to buy a beach condo. Sure, I'll sell it to you.
Sure.
But there's a lot of good spots over by the river and kind of buried a little bit in Long Branch that right. have some definite possibilities. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also love Highlands and Atlantic Highlands.
Right.
It's kind of – people don't really connect that those with Asbury.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I live a little further north, close to there, and I've been saying for years, you know – I'd love to live in Atlantic Highlands. It's
right.
a great little town. Great. There's a downtown. There's a movie theater.
Yep.
Some great restaurants. There's a brewery. It's kind of everything you want. The great ice cream, too. Nicholas Ice.
That's
Nicholas
right.
Creamery opened a shop there.
Right.
There's just great stuff to do in Atlantic Highlands.
Right. It's true. And it's funny. A friend of mine just you're right, because sometimes you get sucked into, like, you know, the Asbury vortex a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to get out, and there are some amazing towns, you know, around there.
I was definitely in the Asbury vortex. I would basically only leave about once a week. I'd hop in my car, go have lunch with my parents, stop at the post office, bank, grocery store, dry cleaner,
right.
and back into Asbury, park my car, and it wouldn't get touched for another week.
Right.
Because anywhere I worked in Asbury, I could walk.
Right.
It was a fun, simple life, but I kind of missed a lot that was going on.
Gotcha.
Even places like Keyport. Keyport's going through a fantastic rebirth.
Right.
I'm excited about that, and I keep trying to get people. People keep saying, you know, they're building that new apartment complex on mm-hmm. Keensburg Beach. People say, should I invest in Keensburg?
Right.
I said, yes, if you want to sit on it for a couple
of
years.
Right.
Keyport, you can make money now.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of those towns, like, they're all beautiful waterfront towns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. Like, and Keyport's got a cool downtown, same
way
you mentioned about Highlands, you know, or Atlantic Highlands. Keensburg's a good question. It's probably, right, a little further along, but it's amazing, like, beautiful waterfronts and, mm-hmm. you know, some of the views of the city up there. There's some great restaurants in Keyport. I mean, Drew's one of my
Bayshore.
Favorite spots.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of fun and funky spots in Keyport.
Right.
And I really feel like that's the key to the rebirth of a town is the downtown.
Right.
People want to be able to walk to fun stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whether it's cool, funky shops, restaurants, bars, just somewhere where there's some life.
Yep.
The whole suburban giant developments and, you know, I'm always drawn back to that opening scene in E.T.
Right.
Where you're just looking at these endless expanses of
right.
developments
right.
where there's, you know, model A, B, and C of a house. It doesn't really speak to me as far as a way to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you're living four or five blocks away from a downtown to the point where you're not getting the downtown traffic, but on Saturday afternoon you can go walk down there.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the way to live, and especially if it's close to the water. The bay has so many beautiful things. You can fish down there, your boats
right.
and all that. Yep. The good stuff. You might not get the waves of the ocean, but
right.
as far as looking at an expanse of water,
yeah,
it's right there.
That's true. Yeah. Any other towns you think that are kind of like on the maybe off the radar right now that could be up and coming in Monmouth or Ocean County?
You're going to have to call me for that.
All right, cool.
I can't just give away all my secrets.
That's right. All right. Well, I mean, you definitely got your ear to the street. And I mean, you've probably, you know, in a unique way are trained. You've experienced the growth in Asbury, right? So you probably can pick up on some early signs that are going on in other places.
I watched Asbury happen. Even Belmar. Belmar
right.
has gone through a huge downtown rebirth in the last 6 or 8 years.
Right.
And even the demographic in Belmar, I'm watching it change, where the south end of Belmar, Lake Como, was always that, I hate to say wasteland because
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, multi-million-dollar property, but
right.
it was always just the 22, 23-year-old kids coming down to party at DJs in Bar A.
Right.
And that scene, well, it's obviously still there. I'm seeing a lot of that revert to single-family vacation homes,
mm-hmm.
single-family year-round homes. Belmar and Lake Como are definitely going through a lot of rebirth, especially the downtown of Belmar. From the early 90s when I started hanging out there through 10 years ago when I was living in Belmar in 2005
mm-hmm.
to now, it's amazing just
right.
seeing what's going on.
That's cool. All right, so let's just touch on what you do when you're not doing real estate. Do you still do some cooking at home and things like that?
I do still cook
passions?
At home. I the cooking at home is a little more rare, but when I do, I love doing it. There's always a giant bag of charcoal in my garage. I love pulling out the Weber grill. I have a smoker at home, but that requires a full day off, which I don't get too much.
Right.
But it's definitely something that's near and dear to my heart is, you know, throwing some dry rub on a couple of pieces of meat, firing up the charcoal, and
that's
just
cool.
Stinking up the whole neighborhood right. with that charcoal and hickory smell.
The good news is your days off are probably like Monday, Tuesday, so you camp out on those days and no one else is around anyway to disturb.
I can't really say that I get whole days off, but there are definitely days. I think it was last Wednesday, actually, after our event, I had so much stuff to do. I didn't want to deal with any sort of distraction, so it was. I stayed. I worked from home and sat around in my shorts all day, and that felt like a day off when I didn't really have to talk to anyone. I made some phone calls, caught up on emails, because Tuesday was kind of a waste from the dealing with the benefit all day. So you have to kind of make your own time off in this profession, because
that's true.
People want to talk to you on Saturday morning. They want to see you on Sunday morning. You have to work an open house on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
If you want to do business. So, but then you also have to work in the rest of your life around it, which it takes a little bit of gymnastics, but thanks to Google Calendar, it mostly all gets done.
That's true. Yeah, I think if you can fit in those pockets where it doesn't feel like you're working all the time, you know, even if it's like a 3-hour window in the afternoon or midday or something.
Now, Sunday night, we went out to a Korean hot pot.
Oh yeah,
in East Brunswick, and it was after my open house. I packed that up, went home, took a nap for an hour, and we went out. And it was probably one of the better meals I've had in the last 6 months.
Oh really? That's cool.
Definitely, it's fun.
Yeah, nice. So you said you're into loud music, but also anything unhealthy. Are your interests?
Yeah, I have a serious weakness for anything that's drowned in butter. Charred over a grill, fatty meat, just anything that your doctor would cringe if you told them that you eat.
Right.
That's, we all know that's the best stuff out there.
That's true. I mean, there's a reason it tastes good, right?
Exactly. I mean, I'll eat a salad here and there, but with left to my own devices, there's probably going to be a pork product in there, and there's probably going to be some sort of carbohydrate slathered in butter.
Right.
And I'm kind of unapologetic about it, too. I just, you know, why live till you're 90 eating salads?
That's true. That's a good point. What kind of music are you into?
That's all over the board. I grew up high school listening to a lot of punk, 80s hardcore. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely, as I'm sure it does with everyone, it evolves throughout the years. Right. I got into, for a long time, a lot of funk, reggae. A lot of outlaw country with you know, the whole the Willie Nelson, Waylon, Hank Jr. I'll listen to pretty much anything that strikes my fancy. I don't automatically rule something out because I don't like the genre that it's in.
Right.
And dude, it's a good way to just discover. I'm a big fan of putting on a Spotify radio station and still discovering something new, or bands that you had kind of heard of that were always on the periphery, and hey, wait, I really like this band.
All right. Are you into any, like, any local, still, like, tapped into the Asbury scene at all?
To a certain extent. I don't get out at night as much as I would like to, but there's definitely some bands out there that I'm huge fans of. Ribeye Brothers, Deal Casino, Von Mon, who else should I shout out? Hot Blood. There's a lot of those bands. I was big into Battery Electric, and they've semi-broken up, semi-moved to L.A., but really great bunch of guys, and they're putting out some good music, and their live shows were phenomenal.
Right. That's cool. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you.
Talking Asbury, talking wine.
Oh, wow. Time flies when you're having
fun. Yeah, time does fly. So, once again, David Z. Wilson. Thank you for joining us. David's at the Weichert office in Asbury. What street's that on?
It's right across the street from the Bond Street Bar,
right,
which happens to be on Bond Street.
All right, cool. Makes sense. Yeah, for some reason, I was thinking Bond was the other side of the building. All right, that makes sense. So people are welcome to walk in and find you there?
You can find me there just about any time. I spend way too much time there, and you can usually see me sitting in the window.
Right.
Those of us who are watching us live have seen my ugly mug.
Right.
If I'm there, come on in, say hi. Whether you want to buy something or not, I'm always happy to just sit around.
That's right.
I also act as the local Chamber of Commerce and the tourist information.
Sweet. And also, this is a hot tip for the people on the streets. We found a new notary in Asbury as well.
Yeah. If you need something notarized, I'm always happy to do it. There's actually a couple other folks in my office that are notaries as well. So there's often someone on hand.
That's good to know. I run into trouble. I can't notarize my own docs, so I'm always looking for someone. Yeah. So I may wander in and take you up on that sometime. Follow David on Facebook and Instagram at David Z. Wilson Realtor. Check him out at the Weichert office. Once again, my name's Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Check out our host, who I believe is my other host in Montana today, at MortgageGuy_Mike. Thanks for checking out the MuggleCast.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.